Welcome to this podcast in the Smart Science series by Adiseo.
Hello, this is Dr. Brian Sloan from Adiseo, here with Dan Lucchini. We're visiting with Dr. Lalu Balul, our colleague at Adiseo. Lalu, three abstracts were presented at this year's 2021 annual meeting of the American Dairy Science Association. They are fondly called the Smart Cow Abstracts. Tell us more about the Smart Cow Initiative and how this spawned this exciting area of research.
Thank you, Brian. This work was made possible by the European Horizon 2020 Smart Cow Program, which encouraged collaboration in the European cattle sector. The studies were conducted at Aarhus University, Holland, Denmark, in collaboration with Dr. Moen Larsen, who is researcher at Department of Animal Science. The context of this work is that, first, we know well that the immediate postpartum period is characterized by both negative energy and protein balance due to the high demand not converted by equivalent increases in nutrient supply from dietary intake, and also a high incidence of metabolic disorders. The consequences of negative energy balance on health associated with fat mobilization have received great interest during the past decades, whereas the negative protein balance has received little attention, even though the consequences have been acknowledged. Second, the current recommendation for amino acids in ruminant in several feeding systems were established from databases, mainly from mid-lactation cows. Their applicability to early lactation can therefore be questioned. Previous studies have shown that increasing metabolizable protein supplies right after calving can lead to substantial increase of milk yield and milk protein yield. Therefore, the objectives were to investigate the amino acids most needed in early lactation period, a critical period for establishing subsequent lactation, reproductive performances, and reducing incidence of post-calving metabolic disorder, and also to investigate the potential carryover effect of increasing amino acid supply right after calving on the period of established lactation. The overall hypothesis was that supplementation of essential amino acid in postpartum period will increase milk yield, nitrogen efficiency, and decrease metabolic disorder incidence, and also demonstrate mammary metabolic flexibility can compensate for reduced supply of non-essential amino acids.
Thank you, Lalu, for that excellent background to all this great work. Could you give us some more insight into the background on the present protocol you presented at ADSA and the results that were obtained?
The results showed no significant difference of dry matter intake between the two amino acid infusion, essential amino acids and total amino acid in infusion, neither in the infusion period of 34 days postpartum or in the carryover period from 35 to 56 day milk. However, milk protein yield increased significantly with total amino acids compared to essential amino acid treatment, and this effect continued during the carryover effect, at least until 56-day milk, as there was no interaction between treatments and day in milk. Quantitatively, the average treatment differences in the investigated period was plus 9 kg of milk yield between the two treatments. When we take a look to milk composition, we observed a greater protein yield with total amino acids by greater milk yield, as milk protein content tended to be lower with total amino acids treatment. Milk fat yield did not differ, caused by counteracting lower fat content with total amino acids treatment, greater lactose yield with total amino acids caused by greater milk yield, as milk lactose only tended to differ at the first week after calving. Taken together, milk yield and milk composition, we observed a greater energy-corrected milk yield with total amino acids throughout the treatment and carryover period. Looking at the mammary metabolism, there was higher net uptake with total amino acid treatment across the investigated period. Looking at individual amino acids, there was greater uptake of the mammary gland for total amino acid infusion treatment during the first week postpartum of alanine, glutamine, and proline. Looking to the mammary extraction ratio of arterial amino acids, there was a greater extraction for essential amino acid treatment of glutamine, glutamate, and proline during the first week's postpartum. There's non-essential amino acids seems to be the most limiting during the two first week postpartum.
Wow, Lalu, that's really interesting. Lots of curious information, one might say. But if you try to summarize that in a nutshell, how would you interpret these results?
Interestingly, compared to the previous studies in Larson and co-authors 2014 and 15, with a similar difference in milk yield between total amino acids and water infusion, it seems that non-essential amino acids are needed in the immediate postpartum period. Further, continued higher milk yield through 56-day milk with total amino acids after ceasing infusion indicate early postpartum amino acid supply influences or subsequent carryover effect lactation performances. Also, mammary blood flow regulation appeared to be changed with high essential amino acid availability or low non-essential amino acid availability, and could be due to the effect of glutamate, proline, and arginine to regulate flow and pressure, as shown in the literature in mouse and rats. Also, looking at the arterial concentration and mammary patterns, we observed particularly that non-essential amino acids, glutamate, glutamine, and proline deviate from patterns of other non-essential amino acids, indicating that these amino acids may be the most limiting, in this study in the period postpartum. Lastly, the metabolic flexibility of the mammary gland appeared to be surpassed in the postpartum period when only supplying additional essential amino acids.
Lalu, I mean, obviously this information, these results of this trial highlighted a lot of different things that you can be looking for. Mammary gland is key in this. Can you define what you mean by metabolic flexibility?
Yeah, sure. The mammary gland is characterized by high flexibility to adapt and regulate its metabolism according to the availability of absorbable nutrient defined as a push effect linked to the supply, and according to the nutrient requirement of mammary gland to express its potential of production, and also face several biological constraints. According to these results, it seems that the two first weeks after calving are very critical period, and some functional amino acids, essential and non-essential, are needed to keep the mammary machinery at optimal level.
Yeah, I guess this concept of functional amino acids are becoming very critical in this particular these early stages into the lactation. Now, you said that mammary fat synthesis, for the most part, in your trial was unaffected. Is there an explanation for this?
Oh, The outputs of this study suggest that milk components are affected differently, especially during establishing lactation period, due to the capacity and flexibility of mammary gland to use the available nutrients through prioritized metabolic pathways according to the supply and requirements. That would be the preliminary explanation that we can give at this stage.
Thank you, Lalu. These were very well planned and thoroughly conducted trials. They nicely add to our knowledge of amino acid nutrition. Dan, what do you think this all means for, you know, our dairy nutritionists and farmers? I mean, what can we already apply or imagine we might be able to apply from this type of new knowledge?
Well, Brian, it is clear that all amino acids are needed, in perspective, if we call them essential or non-essential, right? And the deficit is more pronounced during the first few days in milk, which to me, the practical advice is to make sure that you provide the right environment to the cows during the peripartum period. The consequences of not doing so have a long-term impact.
Yes, Dan, I'm really excited about the results of these studies as well. I think they show a tremendous opportunity to get dairy cows off to the best start possible at the beginning of lactation by increasing the supply of the right balance of essential amino acids. But care needs to be taken to not neglect a minimum supply as well of some of the key non-essential amino acids, as it seems a high-performing dairy cow may not have the metabolic flexibility in the first few weeks of lactation to compensate entirely for a shortfall in absorbed non-essential amino acids. It will be curious in practice to see if this shortfall is really an impediment or that the non-essential amino acid supply on a well-balanced diet, even low in dietary nitrogen content, is sufficient. For those of you wanting more details and to see the abstracts that Lalu presented, please visit adisale.com.
Thank you. This concludes the Smart Science Podcast by Adisale.